Welcome to Uncorked, another podcast brought to you by Team Corker. And this one is a bit of a throwback. It's a very, very special throwback. It's a throwback to when Brian Tracy jumped on our goal club 2 years ago. We recorded a workshop with him, and out of inspiration, Q1 2024 inspo, I went back and I listened to the conversation and thought, hot diggity, this is on YouTube. And not everything is meant for sharing on YouTube. This is meant for a podcast. It's also quite exciting to celebrate Brian's 80th birthday in good health. When we spoke to him last, his health was having some challenges. So in the last 2 years, and I'm sure 2 years means 365 days of writing down his 10 goals every single day, he riffs on creating from rags to riches, as he says. He talks about inspiring the next generation as a parent and a grandparent. And I just think there's something to be said about learning from the 80-year-olds. Without further ado, here is the throwback conversation that we had with Brian Tracy. And I hope you have your pen, a 10-cent pen, and your $1 piece of paper out to take notes and jam on your goals and your wildest, wildest dreams. May they all come true.
Hello.
Here he is, Brian.
How are you?
Well, we are really great. Well, Brian, you get to meet 60 of our friends today.
I see that. That's wonderful. Are you guys all in Whistler right now?
No. We are everywhere. I did tell everyone, is it true that you were born in Vancouver?
No, I was actually born in Prince Edward Island. And then my parents moved to Toronto. And then from there, when I was 8, they moved to California. And when I was 16, they moved to Vancouver. And so I finished my high school. Actually, I didn't actually finish. Finished high school in Vancouver and then went off to see the world. I've lived in almost 125 countries.
You missed the introduction. So time is precious. And you've already been introduced. Everyone is here. Some of us listened to 6 of your cassette tapes many, many years ago. You have a large contingent of people who used to work at Lululemon. And you could say that we were forced to listen to your cassette tapes, except every parking spot that we manifested because of you is never, ever lost on us.
Yeah.
I need to tell you one quick story, and then I'm going to dive in. I have 3 questions to ask you, and we will so honor your time. Is that cool, Brian?
Wonderful.
All right. So about 13 years ago, I was working at the time, a really dingy head office of Lululemon in Vancouver. And I was single and I had a friend who was also single. Friday night, we had 2 dogs and we said, what are we doing this weekend? I said, I want to drive down the coast. So we decided we were going to drive down the Oregon coast for a weekend because that would be fun. And we listened to your cassettes the whole way down. We'd already listened to them 5 times over. Yet in the name of development, you know, you just keep listening. And we got there and she said, well, where are we staying? And I said, I don't know. Like, we're going to Brian Tracy a place to stay. And we get to the coast and every single place, no vacancy. And she's sitting there and she's like, see, I told you, we're never going to find a place to stay. And it's late on a Friday night. And I said, we're going to Brian Tracy a place to stay tonight. Like, it's not going to be a problem. And this went on until finally I had to say, listen up, you got to take the dogs and get out of here because you're messing with my Brian Tracy energy and we're never going to find a place to stay. And she left and I went into the next hotel. And I said, I know your sign says you don't have vacancy, not hotels, you know, they're like little cottages on the coast. I said, I know your sign says no vacancy, and I'm convinced you have one room for one night for 2 great girls and their dogs. And they said, oh, of course we do. Here we go. And so from that moment on, you know, there's something to be said about you got to get the bad out so that we can create the fertile soil of what we want to create. And as Seth says, it worked.
Steph, one of the most important things is that you don't realize how powerful your mind is until you begin to use it. And the more confidence you have, as you did, in the power of your mind, the stronger it becomes. Mm. It starts to spread almost like a light that emanates. And it starts to spread to every part of your life, in your sales, in your business, in your relationships, in finding a place to stay at night. And the most important thing is you have this confidence, as you did, that this will work. Don't worry.
This will work.
It's going to be okay. Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Yes. Well, I've been obsessed with listening to podcasts and lots of conversations that you've been having lately because of course we've read your books, and yet the world is different now, Brian. Like, things have changed, and how we are today is different. And so I had asked if I could pose three questions for you. And the first,
he has them.
It relates to resistance. So I want to know, for the folks that don't want to set goals, for the folks that think that goals are too structured, I don't want to write them down, I want to be free, I might be too scared to declare a goal. What do you have to say to these goal naysayers?
I've written books on the subject of self-confidence. And the reason why people are reluctant to set goals is because they're afraid that they might fail. Fear of failure. The greatest obstacle in success in your whole life is fear of failure. Is what if I try and it doesn't work? Mm. And so what you do is, the key is, I just won't try, then I can't fail.
Mm.
And so people at an unconscious level sabotage themselves. Mm. Where, for example, the perfect example, walking in and asking for a place for two girls and two dogs, is you had this complete confidence. You swept away all negativity and you just walked in and asked for it. And, you know, what you ask for, you get. So this is why people are reluctant to set goals. When I was 23, 24 years old, was the first time I discovered goals. And I read an article and it said, if you want to be successful, you have to have goals and you have to put them in writing. So I took a piece of paper and I was sleeping on the floor of a friend's one room apartment. So I took a piece of paper, I wrote down 10 goals, and I promptly lost the list. In the next 30 days, my whole life changed. I began to achieve goals. I began to earn more money. I met different people that opened doors. My sales went up. It was the most amazing thing. And I say this, the nickel dropped. And for the rest of my life, I've been a strong believer in setting and achieving goals. And so that's why people are negative about goals. It's because, first of all, they don't know how to do it. That's a real problem. They're afraid that they might fail. And the fear of failure is so great that they would rather not set goals at all than think about failing. So the answer to this question is, give it a try. It's the most magic thing in the world is a piece of paper, a pen, and you. And write down what you want to achieve in the present tense. Here's an interesting discovery of 4,000 years, is that whatever you write down in the present tense, it's like programming it into your subconscious and then into your superconscious mind. And you program it in, and then like a computer operator, it takes this command and begins working on it 24 hours a day. You can then sort of like put it aside, like you put something in the stove to cook and go and do something else. You've now set the goal. And you just put it aside and get on with whatever you're doing. And the goal will start to come true exactly at the right time and in the right way for you. And this works all the time. There are no exceptions to it. I've been working at it now for 50 years. And I'm just so happily astonished at what happens to your life when you set a goal. I'll give you an example. There's probably a lot of people in your gang who are single. And one of the things that I learned was that if you want to meet the perfect person, sit down and take a piece of paper like this and write down, is the perfect person for me will have these qualities, and just write a description, the height and weight and an interest and background, and just write it down, and keep writing. And you may have to come back to the list two or three times until you're finally exhausted. And then just take a deep breath, you know, om. Take a deep breath and the perfect person will walk into your life. And it's astonishing. You'll meet them at a party. You'll meet them at a bus stop. You'll meet them shopping. The perfect person just walks into your life and the nickel drops. And you just realize you don't have to fight. You don't have to argue. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to toss and turn at night. I'll give you an example. When I was single, I met my current wife, Barbara. I was taking courses at the university, and a friend of mine introduced me to her. She was married, and we talked, and life went on. And every week or so, I would run into her, and we have a cup of coffee. And she said to me, if you're not in a happy relationship, what do you do? And I said, well, you take a piece of paper, and you write down a description the perfect person for you. And she said, oh, okay. And about a month later, and we kept sort of running past each other. And about a month later, she called me up. She had my phone number. And she said, I'd like to talk to you. Can I come over to your place? And I said, sure. I'm a bachelor, and I'm always open to this kind of opportunity. So she said, can I come over to your place? And she came over, and she came in, and she sat down. And she said, you remember you told me to write down a list of everything that I wanted? And a person, I said, yes, that's right. She said, well, I did it. I said, well, that's really good. How did it work out? She said, it's you. I decided that you are the person that I want to marry. And I was just shocked. And the nickel dropped from me as well. And we've been married for 42 years. And we've never had an argument. Now, after we had been together for some time, she brought out her list to show me her list and compare it with me. She learned more about me. But I brought out my list. And so we sat there and we compared lists. And my list was her list, and hers was my list. It was the most amazing darn thing.
Brian, we're going to have to go off script now because this is appropriate. I did not know we were going to get into love therapy and counseling. And it's so appropriate because one thing we used to say is that we couldn't make goals out of people. And I remember, I mean, Halsey is on this call. And Halsey, remember when we said, we're going to set a goal that my partner will propose to me by this time. And it was like, well, wait a minute. It's up for him to propose when he wants to propose. And then sometimes there's relationships with two lists. And then some kids later and some moments later, and we look and think we've become different people. And how do we stay in this? So, I mean, all sorts of relationships. I want to know your thoughts on setting relationships with your loved ones, setting relationships with family, and how do we keep goals alive in relationships, Brian?
Well, one of the best ways is just to continually keep the door open and discuss them. Write down your goals. I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you something that will change your life forever. And it's very simple. In my coaching program, I charge several thousand dollars for a one-year program. They came every 3 months and spent a full day. It was usually it was 20 to 30 people. And we spent a full day together, and I would take them through a series of exercises. But they would say, well, that's how much do you charge? And I charge $5,000 for 4 sessions. And they said, well, that's too much money. I can't afford it. What if it doesn't work? I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a guarantee. Is you come to me, and if you do not double your income and double your time off with your friends and family at the end of the year, I'll give you your money back. And I said, okay. And I never had to give a refund. Very first thing I would do, is so when people came in the first day, I put them through a series of exercises, but the first one was the spiral notebook. And what you did is you took the spiral notebook and you put today's date here and write down 10 goals. 10 goals seems to be the magic number that you would like to accomplish in the next 12 months or so. But these are 12-month goals. So every morning you get up and without rereading, you turn to a new page, and without rereading, you write down your 10 goals again and by memory. And then the next day you do it again. And if you just do this for 1 month, 30 days, is your whole life will change. It's almost something miraculous has happened in your life. People, doors will open for you. But every day you get up and the first thing you do in the morning is write down your 10 goals in the present tense. This is very important. Write them as though they were already a reality. I earned this amount of money. And this year, I with this number of pounds, I achieve this goal and so on. I drive this car. I live in this. But what it is, whatever your 10 goals are, write them down, write them again. And what will happen is the goals will change because they'll start to evolve and develop. And one thing you thought was a good goal at the beginning, you don't even care about now, but something else. Do this every day for a month. Now, this is an interesting thing, is that only 3% of adults by statistics, Harvard did a study on this. Only 3% of adults have the discipline to write down what they want for a month. Say, I want this and I want that and I want this. You don't even know what you want until you start writing it down. So every day you get up. Now, then do it again and do it again and every month. And eventually do it for years. And I did it for several years. And I literally went from rags to riches. I have friends who are millionaires and multimillionaires. I have 3 friends who are billionaires as a result of using this exercise. Write down your 10 goals. So that's a very simple thing. If all you do, and if you only do it once, take a piece of paper and just write down 10 goals in the present tense and just take that piece of paper and put it away for a month. A month later, go and take that piece of paper out and open it up and read it, and you'll be astonished. You'll be astonished at what has happened in your life.
Okay, well, I think we all owe you $5,000 now, and we won't ask for a refund, but we will be gathering once a month. So this is so appropriate. I think the homework of today will be that we all write down 10 goals and do it for a month. What a beautiful habit. Can I take 2 more minutes, Brian? Because I have one other question that I don't feel like I've read about in a book. And this was something that I heard on a recent podcast of yours in the last 12 months or so, that really struck my heart. And I guess we are here to talk about love and relationships. Yes. Because you spoke about your approach to parenting and your approach to being a grandfather and the relationship you have with those people in your life. And it just felt so endearing. And I thought, can we please hear this straight from you? And I mean, I want to treat my dog the way that you treat your children. And I think that that says so much. So tell me your relationship with being a parent and being a grandparent and producing the love in the astronomical way that you do.
Well, when I was brought up as a child, my parents had gone through the Depression. My parents were negative. My mother was a Catholic, and she was raised with a lot of guilt. Father had no idea at all about parenting. And so they brought me up poorly, with constant criticism. The greatest destructive force in human life is destructive criticism, negative criticism. And so they brought me up, but I had all kinds of problems in school, and I had problems with police, and I worked on farms and ranches. And so my upbringing was not that good, but I decided that I was going to turn this to my advantage, and I was going to practice exactly the opposite with my children. And so my children came along, and Barbara and I discussed this because she believes and feels 100% the same way. Is that they would never be criticized. We would never criticize our children. Our children have never been criticized. Does that mean that we don't argue with them or disagree or anything? Lots and lots and lots. However, we never tell them that they're bad. We never tell them that they're dumb. We never tell them that what they did was stupid or something like that. We never criticize our children. And then simultaneously, we always tell our children how good they are. We always tell our children how good they are, how wonderful they are, how smart they are. I'll give you a small example. Christina, growing up, she's 6'7". She goes to school. She makes a little drawing, and we bring it home, and she shows it to me. And she said, "I did this at school." And I said, you did that at school?" I just went all over the place. I said, "That's not possible. You could not possibly do something as good as that. I mean, who helped you? I mean, did the teacher help you with that?" And I said, no, I did it myself. "Oh, I can't believe that." And so I made a big thing of it. I said, "Well, all right." And we took it and put it on the refrigerator. And then whenever anybody came in, I said, "Barbara, you've got to see this. Christina did this. Can you imagine?" No, she couldn't have done that. Who helped her? And Christina's standing there like this. She's just beaming. And this is a typical way that we have raised all 4 of our children, is by continually telling them how good they are and never criticizing them. And now they have children. We now have 8 grandchildren, and all of my children treat their children, 3 of them have children, treat their children the same way they were treated. Mm. And I treat them, and when they bring their grandchildren over, I always treat my grandchildren as if they're incredible people, phenomenal people. I mean, wow. I said, "How are you?" I say to my son, he's got 3 daughters. I said, "How can you have 3 such beautiful daughters? I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, how can you do that?" And the little girls sit there like this, and they're 7, 8, and 9. They just beam. And so this is the critical thing, is always talk to your children the way you want them to turn out. Tell them how good they are. Praise them. I'll just say this, the most important single part of life is self-esteem. Self-esteem is defined as how much you like yourself and how much you respect yourself. And one of the definitions of self-esteem is praiseworthiness, is how much do you consider yourself to be worthy of praise? Mm. And that is this critical measure of the quality of your personality, is that you feel like you are a good person. And then you get involved with whoever you get involved with. You make sure that they have the same philosophy, that they believe exactly the same thing. And then when you have children, you raise your children the same way. Just keep telling them how good they are. And that is a wonderful thing. Whatever you put out comes back and it reflects on your own character and personality. So the more you make other people feel good about themselves, the better you feel about yourself.
If that is the only goal we need to write at the top of our page every day for the next 30 days, then I think we're doing the right thing. And if my dog never comes to me in any playground, except I just keep telling Bernie that he's the best Bernedoodle, my work on this planet is complete. And I will feel so good about it. Brian, I know we're over time. We appreciate every second and every syllable. And just thank you. Thank you for everything you've done and continue to do, truly.
Well, I will just say this. The very fact that you're here means that you are what they call a cut above. A cut above means that you are actually a finer type of human being than the average, because only people with your unique personality reach out for more. They have higher standards. They're not satisfied with what they've accomplished. They want to do and be and have more. And so please do this. There's something miraculous about writing down your goals. Write it down. And if you can get into the habit, I learned this when I was maybe 26. I read it in a book somewhere. It said, write down your goals every day. So I began to write down my goals every day. And I literally went from rags to riches. I met the best woman in the world. I had the most wonderful jobs. I worked with the best bosses. It was just like a series of miracles. And you do the miracles by writing it down.
Got it. Okay, we're here to write it down. You said that back in the day, you said a pencil costs 10 cents and a notebook costs $1. And so for $1 and 10 cents, you can write down your goals. And that's all you need to become a millionaire.
You can control your whole future, but you have to decide. What you do is you get a clear picture of what you want in your future, and you just allow the universe to bring it to you, and it'll bring it to you. You've heard of the law of attraction. What happens is you start to attract into your life people and circumstances and ideas. It's miraculous. You're excited all the time about, you know what happened to me today? You won't believe it. I was thinking I wanted this, and then I read the newspaper, and there it was. It's wonderful.
It's so wonderful. Brian, do you know that I jumped out of my chair when this all came to be? I mean, you are the manifestation of goals come true at the Corker Co. And that's Bernie barking. So on point. I should tell him he's the good dog. Brian, I want to plug three things. One is Brian's 12 steps to setting goals. It's on his website. You can find it. It's juicy. It's magic. Yeah. Secondly, I would be remiss to not plug, and she may be on here, Jackie Carr, our sweet dear friend, has three different goal programs, because I think goals are great when you write them down. And then what? And how do they stay alive? And Jackie has a great program called Together. And Together is where you get to come together and riff on all these things. And it's like, that's the whole point. So yes. Jackie Carr, three goals programs. And I'm plugging because it's a goal that the Corker Co. also has programs as it relates to your goals and who you are and how you get to manage teams. So those are three things that we want you to know. And you know what makes my heart beat faster? The fact that I get to share with you that this podcast is brought to you in partnership with More Good Media. Our friends over at More Good Media are spreading the good word, one conversation, one podcast at a time. So thanks so much for your support. We are so glad to be here in partnership. Oh, hey, before you go, you know, listening to podcasts on this thing called the internet, it's a wild ride. And what would be so helpful on our wild journey is if you would be so kind to jump on and give us a review. 4, maybe even 5 stars. It really helps. Thanks for joining us.